been a blessing. We're going to turn over to, well, Matthew 9, where we ended this morning, and look at just a few things here. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started, huh? Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for just moving this morning. And just daily, Lord, put that thing in us, Lord, in our heart. Magnify it. Encourage us in your Holy Spirit, Lord, to get that gospel out, Lord, to look at those people around us, not as outsiders and enemies and on the other side, but Lord, lost souls that need the truth. And just to have that compassion, make a difference, and that you'd work in their hearts as we deal with these people, Lord. You'd be glorified. We could see more souls saved. And Lord, see this church continue to just move forward for you through until that day you finally blow that trumpet. Bless this local church and just thank you for everything they've done for us and other missionaries. Lord, bless this time here. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we kind of left off on this morning, and we'll reread through the passage again, but Matthew 9, starting at verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And my wife was kind of talking on it today, actually. It was at lunch, wasn't it? The Lord used this passage actually to confirm our calling to where we currently are. Back in the early 80s, I think it was 1980, I met the original pastor that started a church in that area. And then he left it to somebody else, and then it kind of fell apart and everything. And then some missionary came down from Montana and restarted the work, and it was going really good. And then it fell apart again and just completely crumbled. And when we had visited Raymond Jones, his family, on our missions trip, he brought us out there as part of a three-week tour we did. We went all over the place, mountains, a city of 20 million people, I think it was at that time. The villages, the pueblos, all over the place. But he brought us over to the beach as well, and he said, there's a work that's been over here, and they've been without a pastor for a couple years. And I mean, our initial thought was the beach. Ugh. To live at the beach, no thank you. Visit the beach is fun. And then I'm not going to go to a place just because they need a pastor. And when we got over there, the Lord immediately started working on us about that area and just saying, there's the Holy Spirit saying, this is where I want you. And then we met the people, and this is exactly what I saw. People that were fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And I came back, and we'd been praying on it and read through here, and the Lord said, Adam, they need a shepherd, and I want that shepherd to be you. Yeah. And I always appreciate that as I come through here and read that and just kind of re-encounter how the Lord works. Amen. He uses scripture as well as many other things, but scripture primarily to confirm a lot of things. But it says here, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we learned about that this morning. And so as he speaks about the laborers are few, this next verse here is what we're going to key into. Sometimes churches, newer people, even people that have been in church, but they've never really been in, but they see a missionary and they hear some things, see some things, get a little excited. And it's like, well, what is missions? Like, what can I do? You know, I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not going to go to a foreign field. What do I do? And I think the Lord gives us three things right here. I'm going to give you, once again, basics. Three primary basic things that you can do for missions, getting the gospel into all the world. Amen. And so that's what we'll focus on, these three things. And you look at the very first word in verse 38, pray. pray. You ought to have a prayer life, daily prayer life, that goes throughout the day, not just, a 5-minute thing in the morning, a couple minute thing at night with kids or whatever you do. that prayer that I remember from many years ago. How does that thing go?
Now
I lay me down to sleep. And how does that go?
I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I die before I wake, feed Jake.
Yes, it's definitely something like, you know what I mean? No, I'm talking about a real prayer life. Amen. And talking with the Lord, something personal. And part of that is looking at souls around you. Amen. Pray for them. And you need to learn how to, like it says here, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Amen. Pray for laborers. I know that's a pastor's dream. A lot of times, amen, Lord, we need laborers. And I look at that vision that the Lord has given me. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to need a lot of people. That's way beyond me. And praying for laborers, but, you know, pray for laborers here because there is probably, I imagine, more that pastor would love to do, but you can't do it all. There's just no way. You need good, grounded, solid men and families that would jump in and do it. But pray that the Lord would send people, amen? And you need to learn how to pray for those lost souls around you. Sometimes we don't see, we don't fully see prayer and everything that it does, but prayer and interceding for someone's soul is amazing. Look with me here in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Moses speaking here, summing up some things before he passed away and the Lord buried him up in the mountain before Israel crossed into Israel, into the land of Israel. And he's recounting some things, and he's talking about whenever he came down the mountain with the two stones and saw the calf and all the idolatry and worship and stuff you'd see today, same thing. And threw those stones down and got mad. And what he says here in verse 18, I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which ye sinned, and doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. What does it say there? But the Lord hearkened unto me as at that time also. Isn't that amazing? The God of all creation and the universe, you, myself, all these people, ready to say, man, I'm done with these wicked people. And one man says, God, please be merciful to him. And it turned his hot displeasure away from the people. He turned his heart to be merciful unto them. And we all got people in our lives and coworkers, and man, this country and the whole world's full of wicked leaders. And, I was talking with somebody, and this brother's talking about praying for his mom for 20 years. Keep praying for these people. You don't understand the mercy of God that happens there because of the intercession, the sincerity of your heart of, God, these people need you. They just don't know it. And isn't that what Jesus Christ said on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't understand. I mean, I can go back to the day before I got saved, the time before I got saved. And I mean, in the heart of my heart, I knew that I was doing wrong. But I mean, I didn't understand everything and the severity of it until later on. I was like, whoo, wow. Man, I don't know who is praying for me, but praise the Lord for it. Intercession, amen. I believe that's a large portion of America still standing today because we are a country that has roots and foundations in the Bible, and we still got a lot of people that pray for this nation. And God is merciful, just like here, but not just with a nation. He says, and the Lord, in verse 20, and the Lord was very angry. Says very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. Yeah, wow, is right. I wonder how many times God is about to destroy somebody and that person, you know, has put on your heart. And do we pray for them? Do we pray for the people around us? Man, Lord, they're ignorant. They're pretty stupid. They're acting stupid. But be merciful to them. Give them a chance. Give me courage to be able to tell them. You need to pray for these people. Make intercession for them. That's part of that prayer life. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right? And go to 2 Thessalonians 3. Another passage we were at this morning, but I just want to expand a little bit on it. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, when Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for your missionaries," as I said this morning. Pray for those. I'm sure the prayer letters are here somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe they're read from the pulpit. Write those things down. Pray for them on a consistent basis. I mean, I don't know how many missionaries you guys support. 21 missionaries. And so if every single person, let me just kind of lay this out. If every single person in this room prayed for one of those missionaries a day, and you just rotated through, and everybody's praying for, how long does it take to pray for a missionary? I mean, we'll say 5 minutes minimum, right? 5 minutes. You take 5 minutes to pray for that missionary family. And other people are praying for them, and then you're praying for another one the next day. Those 21 missionaries in 3 weeks are bathed in prayer by you guys. And what did it cost you? 5 minutes of sincere prayer. Man, that's nothing. That's nothing. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be laid out, and God's going to show you everything that He did through your prayers and all of your intercession for these people. It'll be something quite amazing. You can't see it right now, but when you get there, it's going to be a big wow moment because of our prayer. Just praying. Just talking to the Lord, lifting people up. Amen. We see a couple things here. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And, you know, down in Mexico, I found out very quickly that they really don't care what you know until they know that you care. We had to break down a lot of barriers, the natural thoughts that they have about white people. And but that was a huge prayer of mine, that the word of the Lord, the word of God would just, man, have free course in these people, that the obstacles would be taken out of the way, and that God would break down some barriers that they have to the word of God and different things that are being said and preached and on the street, in the church, wherever, and that God would be able to effectually work with that word in their heart. Man, pray for that. That is miserable. I cannot imagine people like Adoniram Judson, who sat on the field for, I think it was like 12 years before he even saw a convert or something like that. You know, and then it was like 30 years later, boom, it's like thousands, literally thousands are getting saved. But I mean, 12, 13, 14 years, just plowing and plowing and plowing. Oh, man. Pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. Amen. And look what he says here, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And I want to give you this is a plain biblical example of praying for safety. Look here in Romans chapter 15, and then grab Acts 21 at the same time. And we're going to see what people praying really did for Paul here. Romans 15 and Acts 21. Here in Romans 15 and verse 30, Paul is writing this letter about the time of Acts 18, 19, right around there, so before Acts 21. And he writes to the Romans, and he says in verse 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." Now let's flash forward a little bit here in Acts 21. he gets into Jerusalem, and look what's going on starting in verse 30, 21:30. It says, and all the city, man, that's a lot of people, was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Man, they were just going to kill him right then and there. You think the Romans were praying? I do. I do. I think there's some intercession going on. And I think I definitely believe it was a big part of it. Pray for the missionary safety. You just don't know what's going on. You guys don't know what's going on a daily basis, you know? And but you see the letters, and later on things are coming out, and it's like, ooh, I'm glad that I'm praying for these people. And some of the stuff goes in the letter, some of the other stuff doesn't. and so pray for them, and getting a little bit more personal with it. Pray for their marriages. You guys have marital strife here, right? just imagine being on the field with all the spiritual oppression, and that is the target. Take the man and the marriage out, and you'll get rid of the work. How many times have we seen it? Here in America, as well as on the foreign field, amen? And the kids, you know, and the devil gets in those kids' hearts, and that's the last thing missionaries, pastors, you want to see with your own kids, amen? And pray for, you know, their financial needs and their health and all these different things that, you know, you don't see it. You don't know what's happening, but you're making intercession for those things. I feel like sometimes we're all just ticking time bombs, just waiting for things to happen, right? And those prayers are everything. We pray it for ourselves. We need to learn how to pray for others as well. And so prayer is a huge thing in missions. Look back in Matthew 9 with me. We'll keep coming back to Matthew 9 a little bit here. Those three just basic things. Number one, pray. Prayer. It's huge in missions. But he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send. You know what else you need to do? You need to send. You need to send missionaries. You need to be part of missions giving. Sending the missionaries. God told us, preach the gospel unto all the world, right? And he said there, starting in Jerusalem, he said both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the world. I mean, all of it, all at the same time together. How are we going to do that by ourselves? We don't do it by ourselves. We do it as a body. Amen? And we might be right here serving in our Jerusalem, but we got people that we're helping and praying for and sending and giving financial support to be able to be in the places that we can't be. And missionaries, I know our family as well as other many, I think all missionary families, I would suppose, they support missions, you know, just because you're a missionary doesn't exempt you. Hey, man, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Get it all over the place. Support these people. Get them out there. Look here in Philippians 4. These are some of the reasons people, religion just wants your money. this church pastor is not looking for your money. Just looking to do God's will through the local body, right? Philippians 4, starting with verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But we need to look at the context. The context, and starting in verse 1, is just his needs. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Man, sometimes we have everything, and we're doing really good, and sometimes we're sitting down here like, man, Lord, can we get out of this trench? And Paul is saying, but you know what? Verse 13, I can do this through Christ. It's going to be okay whether I have or I don't have. And that's the context of what his financial status. In verse 14, that's why he continues on, notwithstanding, even knowing I can do all things through Christ, ye have done well. that you did communicate with my affliction. Communicate is giving. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And that is the true biblical picture of a church supporting a missionary, getting out there preaching the gospel in other areas as well, sending to his financial needs, helping him with the things that are going on. And, you know, the Lord says, give as the Lord, as he purposeth in his heart. You need to be in prayer about that, and you need to just give what God tells you to give. Don't feel bad if it's a little. Don't feel righteous and holy if it's a lot. You're giving simply what God told you to give. Yeah. And sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking. It's a little shaking as you're putting the money in the plate. I remember the very first missions conference we fully attended. We finally were like getting right with the Lord. And man, we are excited and being discipled by Brother Adamu and getting in, you know, and here come the missionaries, and it's just awesome. And, just as I'm sure like you guys do here, preachers telling us, hey, be in prayer, what you need to give, be in prayer. And we always do that one huge lump sum offering up there for the missions conference. I prayed, the very first time I prayed, just right then and there, the Lord said, how about your whole savings account? Well, that can't be it. I mean, that's a little extreme. Come on, Lord. And I'm not kidding you. Every single time I prayed, he's like, do you got faith? Like, you trust me, right? You're growing. You say you trust me, love me. You say I can meet those financial needs, but I mean, it's our savings account. And like, we want to do this and we want to do that. And Sarah finally came to me one of the last days of the conference and was like, hey, do you know what the Lord's saying? I'm like, yeah, he's telling us to give our savings account. I said, I know, it's kind of scary. And she's like, well, you better do what God says. And I said, I know. And so what did we do? We wrote a check out for that time, $3,000. And gave it to the Lord. And you know what the Lord did in the next few months? I mean, come on. We all know what the Lord did in the next few months. We didn't have to worry about that $3,000 because God put it all back and then some. God's good. He's amazing. You know, just do what he says. And supporting that mission, that gospel to get out there, amen. And it's not going to anything but, honestly, you, because look here in verse 17. And Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. You know where that money's going? It's coming from you and going right back to you. You don't see it right now, but like I say, it's having that eternal vision. Everything you're doing in this life for the Lord and just abiding by the book and following his steps as he's leading you and your family, man, all that stuff is going to an account right up there, and you're going to see it one day. Yeah. You don't have to worry. God is... He's not an Indian giver. Well, I guess that's probably not politically correct. Sorry. I shouldn't be saying things like that. He's not going to take away from you because you're given or not given. God is so far beyond how we think and how we act. God's a good God. Amen. And we look here in John chapter 4. Kind of finish this little part off here in John chapter 4. It's at the end of the woman at the well, and she comes out with all the people, you know, and God's saying, man, look up, lift up your eyes and look. And then as he's talking about that, in verse 35, towards the end, he says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There's the people coming out of the town, for they are white already to harvest. And he says, and he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You know, all that money that you're putting into missions, you don't see it, you don't even know where it goes probably, but you know that you're sowing right there and somebody's reaping off of that. You know that those souls all those pictures that we had, these people this morning that you guys, as you've been given for the last 10 years, even while we were on deputation, trying to get prepared to go win souls in Mexico, that you are a part of those souls getting saved. Isn't that amazing? You're not there, but it's getting done. That's a part of what I'm doing as well. Wow, that's awesome. You can rejoice in that. You're going to see the full account when we get up there. I know it gets a little hard down here and we get a little bogged down with just the things going on, especially when we want to go ahead and do something spiritual for the Lord, and then the devil, he sees that and he just kind of tries to put a little extra to just ground you down a little bit. But we got to keep that focus, that eternal focus, that eternal mindset. It's worth it. It's worth it. One day we're going to see Jesus. It's all worth it. It's going to be all worth it one day. And so we need to go back to Matthew chapter 9 here. Get on the last point here. Not a long message, but just very pointed. And he says, pray. So you need to pray for missions. And he says that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You need to send laborers. And as God is sending laborers, you know what you need to do? You need to go. God's trying to send you out. You need to go. Now listen. Number one, if God is calling you to go, you better buck up and get things ready and go. Amen? Now I know 99% of the local church isn't going to be called to go out far. But you know what you are called to go to? Right here. You are called to get out there and open up your mouth. You're called to get out there and be a testimony, be a witness to these people, to draw them unto Jesus Christ. You're not drawing them unto you. You're not drawing them unto your pastor. You're drawing them to the feet of Jesus Christ. And your pastor will feed them. And that's how all that works. But look in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to harp on this a little bit more. I know we got on it this morning, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just in case you didn't get enough this morning. If I can get there myself eventually. 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We have been given a high position from God. A high position to go out and just give the word that Jesus Christ gave. You can be saved. There's something better than this world. And I mean, we're all over the place with people. I mean, just we can do a show of hands on this. How many people in here just have one single loved person in their family that's not saved? 100%. We all know it. One single unsaved person in your life that's not in your immediate family. We all got it. 100. I mean, do you see where I'm going with this? It's everywhere we're at. It doesn't matter. For Father's Day, they bought me some disc golf set. And so we went out and I was really excited. I like disc golf. It's fun. Anybody else? It's a lot of fun. I'm not even that good, but it's awesome. I love it. I just love being outdoors. Amen. And we're out there running around in the woods and throwing these discs around. There's two teenage girls, and you could tell the style of life that they had. And I'm just like, man, I hate seeing that. Right. There's so much more to this life than what you're seeing. Like the world and the social media and just the peer pressure of all this junk in this world. And I'm just, I hate it. I hated it when I was a teen. I still hate it. And I couldn't get it off of me. And we played a couple more holes. And I'm like, we need to go give them some tracks. Amen. And you know, we walked over as a family. And it's like, hey, girls, I just want you to know that there's more to this life than the things that you see. Jesus Christ is the real deal. And he does care for you and love you and died for you. and gave them some tracts and just trying to encourage them a little bit to, hey, look up. You know, they weren't sad. They weren't. It's just you can see the lifestyle that they're in. And you can, you if you've lived in this world long enough, you see the outcome of it. You know the outcome of it. And it really just doesn't matter where you're at. That's what we've been called to do. You could be out having fun, and it's that simple.
Yeah.
Right. What it cost us? 5 minutes. That's nothing. To just stop and be like, hey, Jesus Christ loves you. You know what I mean? And so many times we kind of like put this thing on a grand, huge scale of, man, we need to go to a foreign field. But we forget about the person that's just sitting right next door and about to kill himself because his world is just crumbling to shambles and nothingness. And just go over and knock on the door and, hey, you want to, I don't know, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, amen? And just draw them to the Lord. Be a friend. Invest yourself a little bit. It's the thing that we really don't want to do, especially in the American lifestyle. The American lifestyle demands way too much. Way too much. And it's all about having just an eternal vision of the things that are coming really quick, like really quick. We don't know the day, but we know the season. We know the times. Oh, man, we're there. I am honestly surprised we're not in heaven yet. It's coming quick. And so what are we going to do with, you know, the little bit of time that we have left? Maybe we feel like we can't do that much, and but I mean, those are three just basic things right there. We can pray, we can sin, and we can go. Take a little bit of time to go. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and it's just nice to see something just broken down to be simple. It's really not hard to get the gospel out. The response of people sometimes is very discouraging. The season, the times that we live in is discouraging as nobody's seeking you. But Lord, encourage us, strengthen us in our souls, Lord, to stand up and to just do these basic things, to walk the walk that you would have us walk, Lord. Lead us, help us, open up some doors, Father. Bless this church, protect this church, pastor, his family, the members, Lord. Draw the people in here that you would have in here and just continue to work through this place, Lord. We thank you for it. We love you. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.